Coming up on Super Boothers, have you thought about consolidating or simplifying your services? I pick Ryan's brain on how best to do this. Also, we touch on whether pre-selling and asking for reviews is bad. Stay tuned.
I'm loving the new backdrops from PB Backdrops. With new designs every single week, you're for sure going to have a new backdrop addiction. With floral, geometric print, theme backdrops, and even custom backdrops, they have it all. With complete one-sided pillow cover backdrops starting at $4.49, there's just no reason not to. Visit pbbackdrops.com for weekly specials. Welcome to Super Boothers. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Ismail.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
It's always morning. Everyone asks, so it's been a running joke with one of my friends. Whenever I pick up the phone, I always go, good morning. It can be, you know, 10 o'clock at night. And originally it was like, well, why are you saying good morning? First of all, good morning is a friendly greeting. Second of all, I'm pretty sure I've just woken up no matter what time I'm calling.
That's probably true. It's also kind of weird to say good afternoon.
Yeah.
I feel like that's too corporate-y.
No, it's just like, hello, good sir. Like, indeed. Yeah. No.
Good day, good evening, good afternoon.
I know. Like, no. Just good morning, just no matter what time it is. It's just so friendly.
Oh, Ryan. You got to start these episodes off with a little anecdote like that. I like that.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure there's I really wonder when people listen to us. If it's in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, or the night.
I think most people download the new episode in the morning immediately. So
just you wake up on Wednesday. That's the first thing you do.
That is the first thing they do.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
So I actually wanted to pick your brain on something, if you don't mind.
Sure. You can go to my website at ryansalinas.com/schedule appointment and I'll be happy to take your question.
This is the appointment. Don't you remember?
How can I help? Step into my office.
I am something I've been thinking about lately, and I've mentioned kind of.
Oh, good for you, little scarecrow doing some thinking.
I've mentioned before how I did a big reboot and a rebrand. So part of that is I redid my website, and I'm trying to simplify my services and offerings. And I noticed on your site.
Well, you're a simple person.
No, you know, I try. I noticed on your site that I found it very interesting how you came up with your services. And I was curious to hear the backstory, the logic behind it. So for example, this may not apply to you, but this is the issue I'm running into where I have, I had an enclosed booth, but if you listen to episode 66, we discussed why, you know, I'm getting rid of that. And now I have the iPad and open booth style booths, but they're not all the same.
Okay.
Right. So I have these older open booth style photo booths. And now I have these iPad booth styles as well. Now, I'm wondering, do I position them separately or do I just come up with a name like an open booth or a ring light booth and stick to that generically? Does that make sense?
None. So let me get this straight. So you're telling me that you have like these older enclosed style booths, these newer ring light booths, and you're wondering if you should just sell it as like the same package and then just
So
not make.
Let me dig into this a little bit more. So if I look at your site, Ryan, you have something like you have a ring light booth, and that's basically for people listening. It's the iPad booth with a ring light around it, right? But you also have different variations of that same booth. For example, a glam booth, which is the same booth but with a specific backdrop and filter, and you also have something like a green screen, which is the same booth but a green screen, right? So I'm wondering, they're the same booth, right? But you have the variations that you broke them up into. Why did you do that?
Well, first of all, again, I focus on creating content. I focus on.
But for example, couldn't you have just said ring light booth and the green screen's an add-on and the glam filter and backdrop's an add-on? Why is it a separate booth?
Pretty. I just think that if you, because I, again, try and sell the experience like that. And what I mean by that is I sell the outcome. I sell the content that we're creating. So it allows me to have things that are a little bit, A, more customizable, and B, I can charge more for just how I present it and package it, rather.
I think that's...
So I would much rather have things that a lot of people do this. You know, there's someone that has, you know, the leaf blower booth where all they do is just take a leaf blower, shove it in someone's face, and, you know, they have like these crazy photos and slow motion things. Again, you're using the same equipment. You know, a lot of people do a projection booth where they have, again, same equipment. They just put a projector on people and it projects a print. And again, same stuff, just presented differently. So I think that's how I generally kind of focus these things, is how to present it to the client as the outcome. And like, what problem are we trying to solve?
No, and I really like that, because that's like, if you think about the client's point of view, that's all they care about, is what is the outcome? Why is it different or is it the same? So, and I don't know if this is confusing, but I think that a lot of boothers I talk to have different photo booth types. Like through the years, they started with an enclosed, they got the open booth with a DSLR camera, and now they're getting the iPad ring light booths. And there's a confusion with how do you break that up into different services? Because for example, from a customer's point of view, and this is what I'm struggling with, I have the DSLR open booth and I have the iPad ring light booth. From a customer's point of view, they're both open. So would you just combine them into one offering and then just give them whatever you have available? Or would you separate them as a ring light booth and as a open DSLR or whatever you want to call it booth?
Well, I think that, because let me tell you, I guess, how I ran into this situation. So my issue is, and if you go to my storage right now, you will see this. I have two storage units across Texas, and both of them have like old decrepit booths. And it's just because, yes, I am a hoarder. Those are my two favorite shows, actually. Hoarders and My 600-Pound Life. I will be on one of those shows. I don't know which. However, in my storage unit in the back, I have a lot of roadie case booths. So these were the like little like what was it called? Like one was called a Slim Dorella, but it's a bigger one. I forgot what the names were. But anyways, but I still have those. I only keep those really for one event every year, just because that's the style that they like. I don't know why. I use them maybe once a year, if that.
And that's exactly, sorry to interrupt, but that's exactly the issue that I have, where a lot of the corporate clients that have been using me for years, every year I try to transition them to the newer booth. And every year they say they want what they had last year.
Well, you can just cut it off and say, I'm so sorry, it's really not available. I mean, you know what, a new movie comes out. I'm so sorry, I don't have a DVD player. Do you have this on VHS? It's just not going to happen.
Okay, so then you had these old booths. How did you transition from that to where you are now?
So the way how I kind of handle that one is I really kind of go off of the experience. So one of the issues that I was running into was, well, did they buy this booth or did they buy the other booth? And then I was constantly running. And again, I operate in all of Texas. So if I had, let's say, one booth in San Antonio, it needed to be in Dallas. I was running around Texas nonstop, you know, trying to get the right booth to the right person.
Gotcha. So
the challenge at that point really was, you know, I don't want to focus on the booth that's going out. And that's whenever I kind of made the decision to really change from what the outcome is. So then I started focusing on the outcome. Then it didn't matter which booth I sent.
But that's because all your booths have the same outcome, right?
Yeah.
So even though you were transitioning from the older booths to the newer booths, they had the same outcome. And therefore, you can consolidate them into the same offer the client.
Yeah, the same category. Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I don't think I would do this now, just because A, I haven't used those booths in forever, except for literally one client. But other than that, even if I transition to them, if they say, hey, they want to do something different, then that's when I make the transition.
So for someone like me that has, you know, I'm like the listeners on the show, I'm getting rid of the enclosed. I have these older open DSLR booths and I'm transitioning more to the iPad booths, right? How would you suggest that someone like me position that to the customer? Because I have both in stock. They're both open. This is a ring light. It's got more social media functionality, yada, yada, yada. This one is the DSLR higher quality and doesn't have the ring light. How would you just break those apart, or would you not?
Sure. So what I would do is, I mean, I'm assuming your DSLR puts out a little bit of a better quality now.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So what I would do is, and I still do this today, if I have a client that is spending a lot more than, let's say, an iPad would constitute, then that's when I say, okay, listen, we're doing this. If you want to propose that and do the DSLR booth first, the client doesn't know the difference. Well, how can we scale back? Well, sure. Then you get an iPad booth. And then, you know, I actually think we talked about this with Kelly Williams. You know, gosh, we haven't mentioned her name in a while. Kelly, where have you been? That's the thing is, if you're working with a higher end client, yes, you're obviously going to propose a DSLR booth first. If they come back to you and say, well, this is a little expensive, what else can we do? That's when you can kind of step down to the iPads. If you still want to keep on holding on to that inventory.
Yeah. I mean, the way I was thinking about this, just for everyone's, you know, background, is that from watching the conversations between my team and clients, we were breaking up the iPad booth versus our DSLR. We were offering them separately. And I found that it didn't really click to the customer, the difference. It's like, oh, this one has a ring light and it's got social media built in, but this one doesn't have the ring light, but it's better quality. Like, it just wasn't computing for them.
Well, that's because you're giving too many options. So,
right. And that's exactly why I'm trying to consolidate them, but I want to be thoughtful about how to do so, even though they kind of are a little different, right? You can't really consolidate it 100%.
They're different to you. They're different to you. They're not different to the client. As far as the client's concerned, the same thing's coming out.
So,
you know, oh, great. You know, photo strips are still popping out. They don't see a difference. This is just you being in your head too much.
And that's exactly where I was ending up, right? So that you basically have a term, let's say open booth, whatever, or photo booth, whatever you want to have that term be. And it's the open style booth. They don't know if it's the DSLR or the iPad. It's up to you basically to choose which one to bring. Is that where you're ending up to?
Sure. Yeah, pretty much. If you still want to maintain both of those.
So in someone's position like yours, where you actually call your generic booth a ring light booth, you can't really do that, right? What are you doing with your older DSLR booths?
I don't. I mean, I only propose it whenever, you know, a specific client comes to me and says, hey, listen, will you do this specific application? I mean, it's more custom than I don't think I've pulled it out in over a year. I mean, so it just happens rarely. Although if someone came to me that says, hey, listen, we want to set up this, you know, for an extended period of time, we want to be able to lock it up. If they're giving me a description that will fit that, then yes, that's when I will use it.
Okay. That makes sense. That's where I was ending up. I guess the only thing I got to figure out was what is the term that I would use for that.
Sure.
But that's where I was ending up. And I guess
you don't necessarily have to put it out there. Like, I don't put out there that I have these things. I only really use it whenever something is kind of requested, I guess.
Right. So again, I was looking at what you had because I really liked the way you broke out the output into different options, which is, you know, I think the way everyone should be thinking about this. So I'm curious, how did you decide on, let's say, the glam booth and the green screen booth as your only other options? Is that what people were asking for the most? Like, what went into that?
Just my mood. and that really is the case. And truthfully, I have a lot more things that I'm working on that have not made it to the website yet because I want to keep it from everyone. But yes, I've been working on 3D video projections. I've been working on just regular projections. You know, I do have, I'm not big on the leaf blower thing, but yes, there are absolutely other things that I'm working on that I do kind of keep in my back pocket that I don't put out that I do, only because I want to kind of keep everything as tailored and as custom as possible to each individual activation.
So how do you decide what actually is on your site? How do you decide like the three offerings that you put publicly? Does anything go into that?
Well, I think I have ring light first, and then I have green screen. I have roaming photo booth on there. I have glam booth, and I have headshot station. And those are pretty much the top five things.
And that's also –
And yeah. I love doing
that's also a great example of, again, the outcome. It's the same setup, really, right? It's just a
exact same.
Yeah, it's just a
different applications.
And I think that's exactly what I'm trying to get to. I think that's the way we should be thinking about it. It's just how do you
that you want
to
be me?
Yeah, I want to be you. It's just how do you stop? Like, what made you stop at these four? Like, How do you choose the three or four that you're going to go with?
I don't know. I truthfully, it was probably done at 3 o'clock in the morning. I looked down, I had these photos, I threw them up on the site. That's literally what it was. There was absolutely no thought into this.
That's very helpful. Very helpful, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you for that.
No, I'm telling you.
You charge for these sessions?
Funny enough, I had a water park contact me after they saw something that I posted just on my personal page. And they were like, how do I do this? And I was just like, you just kind of come up with the idea. Just let something inspire you. Like, this clearly inspired you to get to thinking about, you know, what you should do social media wise. Now you take your application and just kind of put it in, you know, wherever you feel is the next progression. So again, we talked about, I did the Miss United States pageant. My idea, it's simple, doesn't take a lot of thought. What if we did, everyone wants the crown. What if we turn the crown into a digital prop? What if, you know, that's the only thing that we offer? Because that's the experience that you're putting out there. I want every single person to go in there with a crown on their head and take a photo. How shareable is that? That's the thing that you just need to kind of create. You know, you could come up with anything. Give me 10 minutes. I will give you an amazing proposal. Literally anything.
But the offerings that you have were not really a result of people asking for them, or they were booked the most often. It's just whatever.
Yes. I do a lot of green screen. I do. And it's also stuff that I want to sell. So whenever I did the iPad headshot station, that was something that I needed to start selling to people. So again, whenever I did Super Bowl and did the bullet time, I spent so much money on all those cameras, all the software, all the rigging. You better believe I need to start selling that again. And the only way you can start selling it is if you just put it out there. So again, I love doing green screen. I love the things that I create. That is something that I enjoy doing. I know I can do it well for other people. So I need to put my work out there enough so that people can see, hey, listen, this is what he does. And this is also what gives me license whenever a client comes to me and says, you know, oh, can you just create something for us? That's how I get, you know, carte blanche. Mm-hmm.
I also find personally that's a good way to test different things that you may be thinking about rolling out on a grander scale, is putting it up there and seeing if people are booking.
Absolutely. If you put it out there and people, you know, want to buy it, show interest, then yeah, you got something on your hands. I mean, that is literally how it all should work. If someone comes to me and they say, I want to buy this, again, I do not have mirror booths. I'm not a mirror booth sort of person. I can't take a mirror booth on a subway. Yeah. I'm so sorry. It's just not my gig. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that's a great example, because I've actually saved myself from a lot of headaches by doing that. Like, for example, with the mirror booth or with other things I've tried offering, like slow motion booth or flipbook stuff. I've actually tried putting them on my site as off and selling it to people in my area, my client base, and it wasn't really successful. So that told me not to invest into that further and not to offer it. Not only that, those are also a lot harder to do. So
sure. So I've done a lot of roaming photographers for a very long time. Right around whenever iPads first were kind of coming available. And it's just something that has always kind of, you know, progressed. That is something that works for me that my clients love. I mean, I'm absolutely going to be selling that more, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Whenever you buy a new product, again, I've talked about this before. Whenever you are thinking of buying a new product.
Exactly. Before you buy it.
You know, before you buy it, you need to sell it.
Yep.
I don't, you know, I do not, there are people that will really like protest that you do this. I am just, that's just not smart.
That is just not smart. That's probably one of the biggest business takeaways anybody can, like, even if you're starting like a paint, I have friends that want to start a painting company. And I'm like, what are you going to do first? I'm going to buy a truck. No, you're not going to buy a truck. You're going to get customers.
Yeah, you're going to sell the thing first.
You're
going
to sell it.
Get jobs first.
Exactly.
So this is what I have a problem with. This is my problem. I have a problem music. So what I am going to say here is pre-selling is not bad at all. And I think that I have started my career in this. I have built an empire off of selling stuff before I have it. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who will say that that's wrong. You shouldn't do. You shouldn't sell products that you don't have. I'm sorry. No, you're stupid. The reason why I do not sugarcoat stuff, because you're going to eat that too. So the reason why I say this is because you need to prove that there is an interest in your market to be able to sell this. My accountant told me you can buy anything you want so long as you have people willing to purchase it. So, for example, if you want to, there's a new video mapping thing coming out. If you want to purchase that, sell it first. Make sure that you have it available. So either A, make sure that someone else has it, that you can contract to go do it if you don't sell enough. So for example, let's take a mirror booth, for example. You get permission to do this, or if you want to buy stock photos or whatever you want to do, however, obtain photos, put it on your website, start selling it. Again, sell it like 3 or 4 months out, because that's what, you know, we have the ability to do. Start taking deposits on that. Those deposits are not your money. That is not your money. That is money that needs to go into an account that you need to save to purchase this. Once you hit enough, which truthfully, you should hit that. I say you should have it paid off in the first rental. There's someone that like, for example, if I have a big client, hey, we want a mirror booth. Great. It's $6,000. That's just how I come about it.
But that's not really, I agree with you, but I think it's not as realistic for the bigger ticket booths like the mirror booth. It's hard to do that in one event.
Absolutely, right? Not.
Yeah.
Watch me. I mean, that's Super Bowl with Bullet Time, I did it for 12 days. So yeah, the ticket was big enough to purchase everything and then some. So that's what I'm saying is just wait.
But not everyone has a Super Bowl is what I'm trying to get at.
So sorry, stay poor. I can't help you. No, but this is my thing. And again, yes, it's a big ticket item. So if you need to sell it 5 or 6 times in order to get to that point, then do that.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, for me, I need to have it done and taken care of in one rental, because I'm not going to go beyond that. But what I'm saying is hold on to that money, save that money. That's not your money. Whenever you hit that threshold, then go ahead and buy it.
This is something I totally agree with you on, by the way. And it's interesting to me that it's so controversial. Like if anyone even hints at doing this online, everyone comes out of nowhere and starts commenting about how it's unethical.
Well, and I can tell you why, is because the people that have done it not successfully are the ones that have screwed people over.
Right.
That's why it has such, and I will name names.
But this is just this is a very common practice, right? You can look everywhere and you see businesses doing this all the time. Even, for example, colleges, they allow students to enroll in classes. And if they don't get enough
students. Before you've even graduated.
Right. But if they don't get enough students, that class is not happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
They cancel the class. So I really don't understand the negativity around pre-selling. I think that that's the best way to validate it. Another way to do it, which is what I've done, you know, I befriend my local boothers in my market. And if they have something that I don't have, let's say a mirror booth, I'm like, hey, man, would you mind if I use some of your photos to sell it and I'll sub it to you? Oh, no problem. So I get permission from them. I have someone that knows how to fulfill the service, and I can use it as a way to validate that there's a market for it.
For sure.
Why would I invest all that money into buying a booth that I found out wouldn't have been booked anyway? It would be stupid.
Yep.
It would be stupid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't get why everyone's got this fear mindset about you shouldn't do this.
Well, so this is another thing that kind of came up recently, is the subject of reviews. And so, for example, if you ask your client or give some incentive for a review, same thing goes for vendors. There are people that see that as, well, you're buying a review. That's unethical. I call BS. Chipotle does it. My friend Chick-fil-A does it. You go on your – go to Chick-fil-A. Go check on your receipt. It says, if you go and complete this survey with this code, we will give you free food. It is an incentive.
Yep.
I have a big problem with people that do not believe that that is ethical. It's an incentive. You're not buying a review. You're not giving someone cash. You're giving someone a reason to complete that review for you.
It's also not a fake review, right? You're just giving people a reason to actually go through the effort of giving you the review. Otherwise, you'd never get them.
Plenty of clothing companies do it. You know, you'll buy something, the box will come in, you'll open up your thing, there's your shirt or, you know, whatever it is you purchase, and there's a little card that says on your next purchase, you get this, you know, if you leave a review on the site, here's how you do it, here's how you claim it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And we'll talk about that in a couple of episodes when we do a whole episode on reviews.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of people have this negative view on this stuff, and I just get baffled by why. Where is that coming from? But everyone should think for themselves. And I totally agree with Ryan on this, especially with the pre-selling. You know, you're not going to pre-sell something that's happening tomorrow that you don't have the equipment for.
No, right?
You're not going to be stupid about it, but you can absolutely pre-sell in an ethical way. I don't understand the whole hoopla around it.
No, I just think it's dumb. So anyways, children, don't do that stuff. Don't buy stuff without having other people buy it from you first. Next week on Super Boothers.
Okay, speaking of that, one other thing that I wanted to dig into is how do you, like, obviously you have that for people who want to plan their content, but what are some general guidelines for how often do you post, when do you post? Because there are these tools out there, like Buffer, that allow you to schedule posts. I don't know if they work with Instagram. I don't think they do. They do now? Okay. So is that what you do? Do you just kind of sit down and plan out a whole month, put it up there and forget about it, or...